We got an action-packed parsha this week. Yes, we're going live. Really action-packed from the beginning to the end. There's so many topics in Baha'alotcha. It talks about the lighting of the menorah in the beginning, and Pesach Sheni, and the choosing of the Levim, and the Chatzotzrot, the trumpets that they used to sound when they were traveling, when they went into war. But I'm going to focus on one also very curious topic, and very, very, I think, meaningful and thought-provoking. I'll say that. I'll use that term, thought-provoking topic. It's actually something that Shalom Eisenstadt, who's a member of the Shul, addressed in a certain context this week, but I'd like to address in a different context, and that is what you see here in source number one on your source sheets, for those who are looking at them. Source number one is from the end of Parak Yud in Parsha Bamidbar. It's sort of in the middle of the Parsha. And I want you to first, when you look at the text in front of you, it's not exactly how it's in the Torah, but you'll notice that the second line in the text in front of you is special. It stands out. It stands out for two reasons. And this is how it's in the Torah. Number one, there are these strange symbols that bracket the second line here in front of you. Those symbols are subject of much discussion in halachic literature. We'll see they're discussed in the Gemara already. Shalom was focusing on exactly what shape they were, and he's going to focus on where they should be, etc. It's not going to be my focus. The general consensus is they look here a little bit like upside-down nuns. They're called, traditionally, they're referred to as nunin hafuchin, topsy-turvy nuns, and they're placed before and after these two psukim. You may recognize these two psukim. Anyone recognize them, the second line? Vayibin So'aron. So Vayibin So'aron is what we say when we take out the Torah, when we read the Torah in shul. And the second pasuk is what we say when we put away the Torah. These are two psukim that follow each other. They're bracketed in two ways, with a nun and with a space. There's a little space in the Torah separating them from the previous verse. The question is, why? What is that about? What is the meaning of that? So let's look at these psukim for just a few seconds here. It says, Vayisu Mehar Hashem. The previous, we'll get to what was right before this in a few moments, but I'll briefly describe. It actually is a very exciting time in the parsha that the Jewish people are getting ready to travel. We heard about Matan Torah, a bunch of parsha so ago. We heard about the construction of the Mishkan. And that's been finished. We read last week at length about the Digalim, the flags and the banners. That was 2 weeks ago. Everything is ready to go. They dedicated the Mishkan. They're ready to go. And it says, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshet Yamim. And they travel from the mountain of God, which is a very unique way of referring to Sinai. They traveled from the mountain of God on a path of 3 days. Varon Brit Hashem Noseh Lefneyem Derech Shloshet Yamim Lator Lahem Menucha. And the Ark of the Covenant of God traveled in front of them for a 3-day journey. That's interesting in and of itself. Usually the Aron does not travel in front of the Jewish people. It's in the middle of the camp. In the middle of the camp here, it's in front of them. That's interesting and noteworthy. And the cloud of God was above them during the day as they traveled from the camp. Keep that in mind, just very briefly. Sounds like a positive, happy pasuk or not so much? One word answer. Happy or sad?
Happy. Sounds like a long distance to go with a whole group of people.
Long distance, okay. We're going to get to that 3 ways. Quick idea? Yeah, we got.
The army usually traveled in the front if they were going to war.
Okay, good. We'll get to that, okay. Now that's a good point, actually, leading to the next pasuk, because war seems to be pretty relevant here. As Andrew points out. So it says, Vayhi ben so aron, when the aron traveled. We just talked about the aron traveling. So when the aron traveled, Yomar Hashem, Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem, rise God. V'yafutsu oivecha, scatter your enemies. V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. You shall cause those who hate you or cause others to hate you from in front of you. Uvenucho Yomar, and when the aron rested, he would say, Shuvah Hashem rivavot alfei Yisrael. Either rest God or return God among the myriads of thousands of Jews. Okay, second pasuk. So far, so good. Here's where it gets a little bit complicated. How you doing, Zach? So here is it gets a little bit complicated. Third pasuk. Vayam kimitzonim rab oznei Hashem. This is a hard pasuk to translate. We'll go with the following. Rashi's translation, the nation were like instigators or complainers, and they were evil in the ears of God. Vayishma Hashem vayichar apo. Hashem heard, he got angry, and it wasn't good. It wasn't good. It's not good to get God angry, especially in the desert. It doesn't end well. Vativar bamesh Hashem. The fire of God burned within them, batochal b'kseya machane, and it consumed in the end of the camp. So there's a fire of God consuming people. Not good. We'll get to what happens next a little bit later. But these are the two psukim. We have the Jewish people traveling from Har Sinai on a 3-day journey. We have the description of what Moshe would say as the Aron traveled and rested, and then we have this horrific plague in response to some sort of complaining, instigating, etc. So, as I mentioned, you have this very strange bracketing with the upside down noon in the spaces in front of the second pasuk, and the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, source number 2, takes note of this. It says as follows, Son of Rabbanan, the rabbis taught. There's a lot to say about this Gemara. We're going to focus as best as we can. Vahibin sararom vayomer Moshe. Parsha zu asalah hakadosh baruchu siman niyot milamala olamata. Hashem made for this portion, you can look at Sefaria's translation under the Hebrew here. Hashem made for this portion signs above and below. God made signs. Lomar, to say, She'ein ze mikoma. This is not its place. That is a mind-blowing statement. This pasuk, or these two pasukim, are out of place. Where should they be? We'll get to that in a few seconds. But this is not where they're supposed to be. Keep that in mind. Rabbi Yomer, lo min Hashem uzel minesha sefer chashuv ne'athar. Rabbi says, no, it's not why they have these strange signs, but rather it's because it's its own book. It's its own book. These two psukim constitute an independent book of the Torah. The shortest book of the Torah, by far. It's not even close. The truth is, the previous discussion in this Gemara relates to when, in a certain, I guess in the most simplest sense, when the minimum amount of letters that a Torah needs to have to retain a certain level of kedusha, of sanctity, such that you need to save it on Shabbos if there's a fire burning, and the amount of letters it needs to have is 85. Why? Because there are 85 letters in these two psukim. I'll let you count that up if you'd like to later. There are 85 letters in these two psukim, and that this is a sefer b'fnei atzmo, with its own independent book, and that means it requires saving. It's its own independent book. Seems like a pretty short book. What's going on here? Why is it out of place? Keep that in mind. Gemara continues. Kaman Azla. Who does the following opinion follow? Hadamar b'shul bar Nachman bar Yonatan. That which from Shmuel bar Nachman saying Rav Yonatan. Chatzva amudeh Shiva. Here is where I go to the Sfaria for the translation of Mishle, which I wouldn't know about myself. With wisdom, she built her house. That's actually the previous phrase. She carved out its 7 pillars. Elu, what do I mean she carved out its 7 pillars? Elu Shiva Sifri Torah. These refer to 7 books of the Torah. 7 books of the Torah? That's against Echad Miyodea. It's 5 books of the Torah. We know Chamishachum Shei Torah. What's going on? Come on, Kirebi. It's like Rebbe. Why? Because there are 5 books of the Torah, but the 4th book, Bamidbar, is actually 3. There's the first part of Bamidbar. There's the little interlude in the middle. Two psukim, Vayibin Sohar Aron. That's book 2. And then book 3 of Bamidbar is the end of Bamidbar. So, 2 additional books. 4 plus 5 plus 2 is 7. There are 7 books of the Torah. I don't know if you knew that. Next time you do Echam Yodea, you can say, I object! This is in the wrong place. Shiva Chum Shei Torah. Shiva Shivei Torah. Whatever. Whatever it is. Okay. Montan de Paul Galea de Rebbe. Who argues in Rebbe? Rebbe Shim Ben Gamlielu. Rebbe Shim Ben Gamlielu argues in Rebbe. Because he holds that that's not the purpose of the signs. They're not to this is to indicate it's its own book, but rather they're for another purpose. Rebbe Shim, the Tanya Rebbe Shim Ben Gamlielu, he says something absolutely wild. Rebbe Shim Ben Gamlielu says, Asida Parsha Zu Shete'akir Mikan V'techto B'makoma. This Parsha, in the future, is going to be uprooted from here, its place in Bamidbar, and written in its appropriate place. It's going to be moved. Now, that is a wild thing to say. It's literally out of place. They're going to move it. Again, God put it there as the Chazal saw it. So to say it's going to move is pretty ambitious, but it's going to move. Balama Kasvakan, why was it written here? And here's you got to pay attention. Why did you, if it's out of place, why is it out of place? Why did you write it in the wrong place, quote unquote? Kedei lahafsik bein puranut rishonah leparanut shniyah. in order to distinguish between, or to separate between the first and second, we'll use the word punishment for now. Paranut means punishment. There are two punishments. There are two stories in which the Jews are punished. And to separate between those two stories, it's a little bit too negative to have two different stories of punishment in a row. God stooped these two psukim, as it were, in the middle. They're nice, when Aaron traveled. And so, in order to make a separation, what are these two punishments? Pay attention here. Paranut Rishonah Vayisu Ma'ar Hashem. The first punishment is they traveled from the mountain of God. That's the first punishment. V'amar Rabbi Chama B'Rabbi... Did I skip? Yeah, I skipped. Excuse me. Okay. Paranut Shnia. We'll start with the second punishment. Go back to where it's bolded. The second punishment, Ma'i, what is it? Vayiyom Kimitonim. What you read? The second punishment is very straightforward. When the people complained, they were burned by a fire. Okay, that makes sense. Burned by a fire. I get it. Bad. That's a punishment. I think that constitutes a punishment. If I was burned by a fire, I'd be like, that's a punishment. I'm not so happy about this. Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they traveled from the mountain of God. That's the first punishment. Vayisu Mehar Hashem, the first Paranut, they traveled from the mountain of God. That's intriguing. Why is that a punishment? Where is the punishment? What is so bad about that? We read them, took them together. They seem pretty happy to me, didn't they? They were traveling from the mountain of God for 3 days. The ark was traveling in front of them. It was seeking out a place of refuge. The cloud of glory was above them. Punishment. Interesting. Anyways, the Gemara and Rabbi Chamri Chanina says, why is it a punishment? Or maybe the word is calamity. We'll get to that. Shesaru me'acharei Hashem. They deviated from behind. They removed themselves from behind God. That this traveling from Har Sinai represented some sort of moving away from God. And that's why it's called Paranut. How? How is that moving away from God? Okay, V'hecha Mekoma, where does it belong? Omar Ravashi Be'ad Zegalim. Belongs a few parshot earlier in the Zegalim. I will say parenthetically, Rabbeinu Bachaya quotes the tradition that the reason that they're upside down nuns is because nun is Begamatria 50, the numerical value of 50. If you count 50 parshot earlier, you get to the parsha where these two psukim actually belong. And that's why they're backwards, they're facing backwards, because they're supposed to go the other way. Earlier in the Torah and Parshat Bamidbar, chapter 2. There goes that cap. Anyways, okay. So here's my first question. Is this so out of place? Again, we had this Gemara saying, we're going to focus on this part of it right now. The Gemara says these two psukim are out of place. They don't belong here. They really don't belong here? Does it bother you when you read these psukim? Does it really seem like they're so out of place? It doesn't seem like that to me. We have a pasuk saying they traveled from the mountain of God. The ark traveled in front of them. And then it says what Moshe would say when the ark traveled. Sounds like a beautiful transition. In what sense is that out of place? The Maharal here in source number 4 says, well, listen, you know what? Theoretically, this was what Moshe generally said when the ark traveled. What he generally said when the ark traveled. But this is a specific instance of the Aron traveling. It would have been more appropriate to put this story earlier when the Torah was generally describing what happened when the Aron traveled. This is a specific instance. Okay, I get it. If you look at source number 3, I brought you what it was a little bit before this parsha that we read, and the truth is, it describes the Degolim traveling. It does, in our parsha, it describes each banner. Each banner will constitute three different tribes, which all travel together, different sides of the Mishkan. It describes them moving. So I don't really, is it so out of place? It's a little bit strange. There are so many things out of in the Torah which are just like the most arbitrary orders, and you have to figure out, why does this thing follow this thing? This would not have qualified intuitively. I would have thought this makes perfect sense. No need to write it elsewhere. Keep that in mind. Okay. Now we go to the two calamities, the two paraniot, right? So the second one, we understood. The second one was that they were burned when they complained. But what's this calamity or punishment of the first punishment? So I brought you in source number 5, the continuation, because the truth is there are two punishments. There's two separate episodes that follow these two psukim, that follow the upside down nuns. And they read as follows, right? We read the first part. They were complaining, and it was evil in the ears of God. Hashem heard, he got angry. And the fire of God burned against them. And it was consuming them. So first they cry out to God, and then God saves them. Beautiful. They cry out to Moshe. Moshe prays to God. God saves them. Okay? Are they done complaining? Of course not. Next thing. Vasav Suf Asher Bikurbo, skipping a little bit. The riffraff among them. That's translation for Asav Suf I can come up with. Hisav Utav, they had a temptation. Vayeshu Vayibchu, they started crying. God ben Israel, the rest of the Jewish people. Vamru, Miach Lene Basar, who's going to feed us meat? Baruch Hashem, we don't have that problem tonight. We have meat. But they wanted meat. Zacharnu Esadag Asher Nochab Mitzrayim Chinam, we remember the Gevaldik of fish we had in Egypt and the cucumbers. And all that other good stuff. It was so good in Egypt. Ay, 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 ay. It doesn't end well. God has these quail come from heaven. They eat the meat. They start to implode. Another bad episode. Not our finest moment. In fact, I'll tell you from the rest of like the story of that generation, it's all downhill. It all goes downhill. It's a bunch of really bad stories. That being said, we have these two episodes back to back following these two psukim. So this is where Rashi comes in. Rashi quoted in source 6, based on this snippet from the Gemara, when the Gemara says the first episode of calamity or punishment was when they travel from the mountain of God, it says, B'toch gimel yamim l'masa'am hisavu atava asasuf tava l'esrayim basar. What's it referring to? The first punishment's actually referring to that in the middle of that journey, they started having this temptation. They wanted meat. And that's the first punishment. There's a big problem with Rashi. It's a big problem with Rashi. What's the big problem with Rashi? It doesn't separate between those two episodes. Right? Look back at source number 1. And if you look at source number 5, you'll see what I'm talking about. Before the two psukim is that they travel from the mountain of God. Then you have our two psukim with the nuns. And then you have two episodes in a row. The complaining, generally. And then the burning. And then the complaining about the meat. And then, you know, they're punished when they implode. So the nuns don't separate between the first, the second, and third stories. It doesn't separate between them. If the focus was on their complaining and the temptation that they had, then why would that follow the nuns? It should be before it. So the Mefarshim try to say, well, when they traveled from the mountain of God, that's when they started to have this temptation. That's when they started to want the meat. So immediately when they traveled and they left God, that's what it's referring to. But there's another explanation I think is much more compelling. It's in the Tosfot and Ramban in source number 7, number 8. And Tosfot says as follows. He quotes Rashi. He says, "Va'omari de'ein nirali kein." I think it's wrong. El parunon rishona kedamar midrash. What's the first parunon? It's in the Medrash. It's a Medrash Yom. Daniel found it in the Yalkut Shimoni as well. It says as follows. Get a load of this. "Vayisu, they travel from the mountain of God. Shenasu mehar Sinai deresh loshe yamin, ketino kayotze mebeit hasefer." They left Sinai like a child fleeing school. Like, remember when you were in school, you heard that bell ring, you're like, "I'm out of here." And like, the teacher's like, "No, for homework, up, oh, now I'm gone, bye-bye." That's what happened when the Jews left Sinai. They left, deresh loshe yamin, and Mefarshim say they went a path of 3 days in one day. In one day, when Moshe said to leave, the Medrash says they were so excited to leave, they bolted from Har Sinai, and they made up 3-day journey in 1 day's time. Why? Kachi Baruchim Har Sinai Shoshiyamim. They ran away for 3 days, or a path of 3 days. Mefishalam de Har Beit Torah B'Sinai. They learned a lot of Torah at Har Sinai. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nismo Parana LeParanut. Love. Well, I don't want to put one punishment next to another. Ela nifsok parsha vahi ben soa. The first punishment is how they left Har Sinai. The way they left Har Sinai. No more mitzvah. They left Har Sinai. Ramban says in source number 8, it's possible. He's talking about the Paranut thing. Okay, they left Har Sinai in a hurry. That wasn't good. That was bad. But where's the punishment? Paranut usually means punishment. Suggests Ramban, you'll take a look and we'll see it again in another Mefarshim. Maybe if they hadn't done that, they would have went right into Eretz Yisrael. At that moment, They would have went right into Eretz Israel. There wouldn't have been 40 years in the desert. There wouldn't have been any spies, nothing. If they would have left Har Sinai appropriately, they wouldn't have ran away. They would have marched right into the land of Israel and conquered it right away. And that's the punishment. The punishment was they never actually made it. That's a pretty significant punishment. So this, we'll embellish just a little bit more, brings us to the next question, which is, in what sense is this out of place? So I think I want to start with a fascinating comment of Rashi. The Aron was traveling a path 3 days in front of them. Where was it going? Eretz Yisrael. The Aron was supposed to go right into Eretz Yisrael. Derech Shlosha Yamin, Rashi says, Mahal Shlosha Yamin Holcho B'Yomecha, the Aron, they will travel 3 days in one day. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz Nachnis L'Aretz Mi'ara, God wants to bring them to Eretz Yisrael right then and there. Sepharno makes the same comment. And it's what's Vayhi Ben Soa Aron saying? What's it saying? When the Aron traveled, Hashem said, rise, God, and scatter your enemies from before you. Which enemies? Which enemies? The enemies they were going to encounter in conquering Eretz Yisrael. The Aron would have defeated them. It would have caused them to run away. There would have been no battle. Look at what Sforno says, the second line. Had they not sent the spies in next week's Parsha, they would have entered the land without war. The nations would have fled, like the deserted sites of Harish and Omer, which fled before the Jewish people. There wouldn't have even been a battle. That's what Moshe is saying. That's what the Rabag actually says in source number 11. What's the point of these samaniyot? That's here's what's going to get to the kicker. What's the point of these samaniyot? These signs. It's to tell you that this wasn't supposed to be about this specific journey. Vayehi ben Soa Aron was not supposed to be describing the journey that actually took place. It was supposed to describe a different journey. It was supposed to describe your journey into the land of Israel. That's what it was intended for. It's to say this isn't really what's supposed to have happened. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way, and that's why instead it's where it is. It just describes a journey into the desert, not into Eretz Israel. That was the purpose. They were ready to go. They got the Torah. They built the Mishkan. Everything was ready. They had their camps, and they were supposed to go right in, and they didn't. So here I brought you a piece from Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. We're not going to read the whole thing inside. I'll read for some of you. Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, not the one that passed away recently, but the first one was named the altar. It's called the Altar of Slabodka. Maybe you've heard of Slabodka. Slabodka was a groundbreaking yeshiva that focused not just on traditional learning like Gemara and Halacha and the like, but also on ethical improvement and Musar and character development. So the Altar of Slabodka, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, was a very important character in Jewish history. He had a lot of big students. We don't have any direct writing from him, but we have a collection of some of the sermons he gave from his students. So this was clearly a smooth he gave to the people in his yeshiva before they left. Before they left for the end of the year. Right about now. So you can imagine, bunch of people, they're ready to leave. They're going to leave yeshiva. They're going to go back home. Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel gives the following. He asks the guy, I'll just read the first part. He says, Hadvar Muflam Ma'od. This makes no sense. This whole Gemara about how it was bad. Hare Katsub Ba'otza Parsha. It writes in that same Parsha. Ulefi Elote Anam Me'ala Olavach Rekin Yisub Nei Yisrael. Api Hashem Yisub Api Hashem Yachnu. Look, a Parsha earlier. It says the Jews followed the cloud wherever it went. They followed the word of God. And whenever God wanted to travel, they traveled. And if it was for a day, they did it for a day. And if it was for a few weeks, they rested for a few weeks. Wherever Hashem wanted to go, they followed. The Torah describes the Jewish people's loyalty. And now you're telling me them leaving Har Sinai is a problem? And where do they want to go? They wanted to go to Israel, he claims. They wanted to go forward. The problem is where they were leaving to? The problem is where? No, of course not. They wanted to do a mitzvah. Let's take a look at the little second snippet there. Second paragraph. Hare lefi kola amor. Asu b'nei Yisrael, kol api Hashem did everything based on God's mouth. Ukenei lachnisu mehar l'aret Yisrael, kifishan olem. Maya kanefo ha-peronot shakash baruch v'tzarech l'harfe b'nei l'nei peronot mesoronim. What did they do wrong? What was bad? They were supposed to leave. They followed the Aron. They didn't leave on their own. They were following the Aron HaKodesh. In what sense is that that they're running away from school? They're going where they're supposed to. He says, "Lebar kachinu shapirishu sha'amdam etzem pulas nasim Har Sinai." It's like, oh, again, they're leaving Har Sinai was fine. Val pi Hashem is the mouth of God. Aval bisham bashamayim ro betoch matzpune libam. But they saw from heaven in the depths of their hearts. Shloher gisu et tzar hadarush al asher aleim natek me'amakom shlam deboto. They didn't feel any sort of discomfort or pain about the fact that they were leaving Har Sinai. They were leaving Har Sinai where they learned Torah. They were leaving Har Sinai where they got the Luchos. And they didn't care. They didn't care at all. They were happy to leave. That they left, that was fun. They were supposed to leave. But how do you leave?
Probably it was a relieving for them in a sense.
Exactly.
The radius of Har Sinai, right? We all know Moshe had to put on the face mask, etc.
It was a very intense experience.
So leaving would have been
a load off their backs, too much shchina, too much exposure to God. Maybe it's interesting, right? But like you had this experience, and they, it's not that they left, it's how they left.
It's like leaving a simcha without saying goodbye.
Exactly. And you're like, oh, all right, time to go.
Eat and run.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem realistic.
What? What doesn't seem realistic?
Well, look at the people in this room. Each one of these people, if you ask them to do something, they'll have their own creative way of doing it.
Okay.
But all of these people move in unison.
That's what Torah says they always did.
No, they didn't. Clearly they did.
Okay,
I don't know,
Andrew. I don't know.
There was the Korach incident.
Well, that's next week's parsha. Hey, you're jumping ahead, Andrew. You're jumping ahead. All I know is that the Torah says they generally travel in unison. It doesn't look like that. The problem wasn't that they did travel. The problem was how they traveled and their mentality. You know, this isn't the context of people leaving school, right?
Who was leading them?
Make a free choice.
Interesting.
And maybe what it's saying is there are other elements of the Torah that if we would have chosen differently, maybe the book would have been written differently.
Well, that's what, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The book would have been written. That's the next point. Exactly. But
who was leading them from Mount Sinai?
The Aron HaKodesh, Moshe.
So it was Moshe Rabbeinu himself.
Yeah.
How did the Aron...
The Medrash says Moshe told them to go, and they bolted. They're like, okay, let's go.
Did the Aron, like, have two legs and start walking?
Flied. Sounds like it flied. It sounds like it flew. It sounds like it flew. It sounds like it was a miracle.
People were bearing
it. Yeah. And that's the issue. And he's saying, he goes here at length about how he says, look at the last paragraph, how much stringency the Torah attributes to this defect, this mistake of the way they left Har Sinai. And he says, look at the second line, we have to learn the Talmidei Yeshiva, the students of Yeshiva. So Yelanu Kala Zobas Yeshiva. It shouldn't be so hard, easy to leave Yeshiva. Hamakom Shana Lom Devo Torah. We learn Torah. Gemusa, right? Even if we need to leave, it's not about that you need to leave. It's how do you leave? What's going on when you walk out of shul? What's going through your mind? Okay, finally,
Kiddush.
Yes, yes. That's not the way. No, I get it. I also like. I'm looking for Kiddush too. I like Kiddush too. But there's a way to show a certain love and appreciation of the place that you were in. We all have to think about how do we do that? And if we don't feel that way, how can we feel that way? Okay. And so, but I want to leave in a positive note. Rabbi Ari Arkaner is a beautiful idea. Just want to embellish on it for a second. Rabbi Ari Khan says the seven books. What's this seven? A book? It's a book. Two psukim is a book. It's a book that was never really written. That's a fascinating idea. This was supposed to be the end, the beginning and the end of a long book. You know what that book was supposed to tell? How the Jewish people went into Israel, conquered the entire land and settled it and started a new nation, Alpi the Torah and the Mikdash. That's what that book was supposed to include in it. It's the beginning. Moshe says, rise, God, and have your enemies scatter in front of you. And it's the end, and then when the Aaron rests. There was supposed to be a whole book in between those two headings, Ve'ari Khan suggests.
The book's still being written.
Well, at that point it wasn't written. And yeah, and now we're here, and the Aaron hasn't rested yet. Exactly. So we just try to get to the ending. Fascinating. So it's a sort of a sad note in our hearts, right? And the truth is, I would say this is the turning point of the Torah. This is it. Everything was ready. We were going into Israel. Everything was good. And from here, everything is bad. We sin, and we sin again, and we complain again, and we send the spies, and we complain again, and then they die, and we complain again, and then there's Korach, and then they die, and then we complain again. The whole entire generation is wiped out. And then we have like a few decent stories at the end of Bamidbar, you know, but no Slachot or whatever, you know. That's it for that generation. They're gone, and then we have a new generation. So, very sad, right? But there is a certain beautiful element to this as well. Take a look at Zohar in Source 14. I'm not one to always read Zohar, but this is beautiful. Interesting. You look at Ashrei. Ashrei starts from Aleph, or Mimcha goes all the way to Tav. There's one letter missing from Ashrei. It's Nun, the letter Nun. So Zohar says, I don't know. There's no Nun. It says, Machutecha. No. There's no line that starts with Nun, right? We go, Machutecha, Machut Kol Amim, and Someh Hashem. So Nun's in Golis. It's an exile. That's an interesting idea. The friends have explained. Shekatuv, it says in Amos, Nafla lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael. It says in Amos, Nafla lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael. You have fallen, read simply. You are not going to get up again. The Virgin of Israel. So the Nun is a feel of the Nun is falling. We don't want falling in Ashrei. So it's in sign there. Elam akratav lamal, but what is it right above? Aron brit Hashem noseil of nehem. Derech shloshet yamim, the Torah lahem menucha. It says the Aron is traveling in front of them, our Parsha. Kevan shayu noseil ar Aron, Nun nosat alav, vare yashchin oshev agabe Aron. So remember those upside downs, those backwards Nuns. So the way the Zohar sees it, the Nun represents the Shechina. The Nun represents the divine presence. Like physically, if you look at it, that's what it's depicting. And the Shechina was with the Aron. Here's the line. Bo re'ech aviv sakash baruch l'gab Yisrael. Look how much Hashem loves the Jewish people. She'af agav shem sotim miderech hayashar. Even when they stray from the straight path. Hagash baruch hu lo ratza lo uzvam. Hashem doesn't want to leave them. Uvachol zman machzir panav lemulam. He's always turning his face back toward them. Shem lo kach la yamdu ba'olam. The Nun, I think particularly the Nun's facing backwards, depicts Hashem looking back at the Jewish people, even as they try to leave him. Even in that moment as they try to leave him, Hashem's still looking back at them. He continues, Bo re'eh ha'aron yoseh l'nehem derech shloshet yamim, the Aron was 3 days in front of them. Lun nohaitan mefenemen nasatimo. The Nun, meaning the Shechina, would not separate from the Aron. Umitoch ahavat Yisrael, but because of the love of the Jewish people, machzer panav umistovev milagabe Aron. It turned its face and looked toward the Jewish people from in front of the Aron. Kimo afar yalalim, like a gazelle kishu holeich machzer panav lemakom shemisham yatza. Like if you see a deer is walking, it turns its face, go back at you. It's the image of the Shechina looking back at the Bnei Yisrael, even when they sin. Nun mitzvah is part of the Mil Yisrael, the kisvei haguf agabi Aron. It's like the shoulders are facing the Aron, but the face is facing toward the Jewish people. And that gets back to the Nun and Ashrei, source number 15. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan said, "Malo nemar Nun ba'Ashrei, why is there no Nun ba'Ashrei? Meishish b'mapalatan shal soni Yisrael." Euphemism. It includes the nefila, the falling of the enemies of the Jewish people, which doesn't mean the enemies of the Jewish people refers to the Jewish people. Tiksiv nafla lo tosif kum betulah Yisrael. It says the Jewish people are going to fall. They're not going to get up again. But b'maravam tartzlach, in Eretz Yisrael, they interpreted that pasuk as follows. Listen carefully. Nafla lo tosif. Nafla lo tosif. You're not going to fall anymore. You've fallen, but you're not going to continue to fall. Linful ol. You're not going to fall. Kum betulah Yisrael. Get up. Stop falling. Get up, for O Virgin of Israel. And Amr of Nochum bar Yitzhak, afilu hachi chazar David ismacham ruach HaKodesh. Nevertheless, David came and he supported them, the Jewish people, with ruach HaKodesh. And Amar, the next pasuk, Someh Hashem v'chol hanoflin. God supports all those who have fallen. So the Zohar is suggesting here is that even in the midst of, and the Medrash itself says this, depicted by the Aron ultimately not fleeing from the Jewish people into Israel, not abandoning them, but staying with them even as they sin. And even as the Jewish people decided, we're not so interested in this Torah and mitzvot thing. And they ran away from our Sinai, and then they sinned again and again and again. And it's the decision we're still suffering from. Hashem still turns his face toward the Jewish people in love. He doesn't want to leave them, because that love is always there. So we have to take a lesson to always be careful that when we have a spiritual experience, that even when that experience is over, to leave in a way which depicts our appreciation for that experience. Because we always know that, and even if we don't, God is still right with there with us. Stop falling. Just get up. Stop falling. Even if you fell once. Come to Israel. Hashem is still looking at you, waiting for you to return. Thanks so much for listening.